You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of January. A much-needed win behind a brilliant game plan and awesome performances from all involved. It's the Jazz win over the Nuggets, and we're putting a focus on it. Coming up on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look at all things involving the Jazz for you on a daily basis here on Locked On Jazz. You can get the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. All right, let's get right to it. By the way, today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. I know some of the guys from Intercap were at the game last night having a great time. Iron Gate Global Advisors and Murdoch Chevy. Huge win for the Jazz last night. They certainly needed it. They, having lost to Portland, I do think that that's an important game last night for the Jazz to establish that they are one of the elite Western Conference teams. I see very, very little separation. And this is when the year started, I saw this. Frankly, between 2-9, maybe 2-11, maybe 2-10, depending on who we involve in this in the Western Conference. Denver is up 2.5 games. They've got a tough schedule. They will be one of the home court advantage teams. I think if you look at it, it's pretty hard to find them doing anything else. But I don't think they're dramatically better than Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston, San Antonio, Utah, LA, Pelicans, Lakers, Timberwolves. I think those teams are all, you know, very similar within a few games of each other. And so having lost to Portland the night before, Utah had to get this one. This was an offensive explosion last night. The numbers last night offensively were just crazy. At the end of the first quarter, the Jazz offensive rating was a 130. Their offensive rating in the second quarter by halftime was a 139. The third quarter was 124, and then the fourth quarter calmed down a little bit. It was a 116 to close the night and a 110 for the Jazz overall defensively. So, you know, the offense won the day. And what also is important to me is the concern I have for the Utah Jazz is that these great offenses, Houston, Denver, Golden State, Portland, frankly, New Orleans, those five offenses are so great right now that even if the Jazz defense has an impact on them, that it wasn't going to be enough of an impact for the Jazz offense to be able to put up enough points because our offense is just not as good. If you look at the last 10 games in the NBA, and maybe you want, Golden State's offense is a 127. Portland's is a 119. Denver's is a 119. Philadelphia is now a 117. Pelicans a 117. Houston a 116. Those are crazy numbers. Even if you go to the last 15, Golden State's a 121. Denver's a 118. Houston's a 117. Pelicans are 116. Indiana, who just lost Victor Oladipo, is a 115. And Portland is a 114. So you have, I mean, crazy offensive numbers going on here. And my concern was that the Jazz, and still is, that even when the Jazz play one of these teams and have some sort of a defensive impact, you know, depending on the numbers, trying to use consistent numbers here for a second, the Jazz defense last night was a 111.3. Well, that's not great considering that the league, that's, you know, league average defense is a 110. But if you can keep Denver to a 111 when over the last 15 games, if you want to stretch it out, they've been at a 117, you're holding them seven or eight points below their average. That's still having a pretty darn good defensive night, and I wasn't convinced that the Jazz had the offensive prowess to put up a night very often where they're better than 111. Last night they did it with an offensive rating. The end of the night, I think, officially turned out to be a 116. Pretty impressive performance last night by Utah to get that win. Let's walk through some of the numbers last night. The shot distribution last night was incredible. So Denver came in, we mentioned it yesterday on the show, 30th in the NBA in allowing corner threes. And the Jazz were able to slice apart Denver's defense to the tune of 17 corner threes. That's an incredible number. Official number, I guess, is 16. The Jazz, only other night where they were higher is they got 18 against Houston earlier this year. They had 14 against Dallas. Now, they made 8 of 16 last night. They also had 25 shots at the rim, which is a low number, but at some point when you're taking, and they only took 17 shots of their 88 shots in the mid-range last night. That is a shot distribution gem by the Jazz. 81% of their shots last night were either threes or at the rim. That had a huge impact on the win, because Denver's shot distribution chart was not anywhere as good last night. But the biggest part is the Jazz made shots. Portland took away threes. Now, you can look at the other night where you say we didn't make shots. Portland doesn't give you good look threes. Denver, the Jazz were able to exploit the blitzing, trapping defense that Denver plays and get the threes and looks that they wanted to get in that game. And Denver's sitting two guys the ball, very similar to the way the Clippers did. The Jazz got off the ball, swung it, broke down the defense, moved it, have a guy waiting in each corner. And the Jazz, who take the second most amount of corner threes in the league, ended up getting those looks. So you had a brilliant game plan that was perfectly executed, well-spaced players, taking advantage of a Denver defense that lacks in a lot of areas. Then, midway late in the second quarter, Denver got out of their blitzing defense, and then they're just, you know, now they're playing a style of defense that they don't usually play. Nor, frankly, does Jokic like to play. And so that really altered then what Denver was able to do. The Jazz, it's better. There was a good little cat and mouse game certainly going on at that point. But the Jazz were able to fire through it. Donovan, fourth quarter, was really fabulous last night. Rudy was fabulous too. 15 points, 10 rebounds, but plus 16. Donovan, 35 points last night. 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. This is quite a run the kid's on. It started in the second half in Detroit. And he had 26. 26 in Milwaukee. 33, 33, 34, 28, 28, 24 in a blowout. We only played 26 minutes. 36 and 35 last night. If you go back to the December 5th game, or January 5th game, 48% shooting, 43% from three, 30 points a game. You'd think that could win you conference player of the month, but it certainly will not be able to do that in the Western Conference this year. Holy cow. James Harden is on another planet. It's incredible. Last night, the contrast, the Jazz allowed the Nuggets to get 2 corner threes. Jazz have allowed 6 corner threes in the last 3 games. 13 in the last 4 games. Jazz took 16 last night. And then Denver went 7 of 24 on above the break threes. They got very few early in the game there to get some. The Jazz forced them into 23 paint non-restricted area shots. That's Rudy. There is a narrative out there right now that I will try to debunk here in a moment or two about what happened last night. In regards to Rudy. And our final check, we always like to look at the hustle stats and see what happened there and the shot looks that everybody got. Jazz shot looks are going to be far superior last night to anything that Denver got. the Jazz just, that was their essence. They came with a great game plan. They moved the ball. And they got looks, and they made them, right? They don't. This is all pretty and darn dandy, if only unless you make them. The Jazz were 26 of 56 on uncontested shots last night. Donovan Mitchell, 7 of 12. Joe Ingles busted out, 5 of 11. Jay Crowder, 4 of 11 with some big shots that were fouls. Nikola Jokic was 4 of 14 on uncontested looks. Boy, was he great, though. The hustle stats last night. Rudy Gobert had 5 screen assists, 17 contested shots last night. And the final note, when people were within 5 feet of Rudy Gobert last night, they shot, looks as though they shot 11 of 23 last night. That's pretty good. 2 of 8 on threes, though, when he was out there. So that's your numbers look at the ball game. We'll talk about a little bit more on the Jazz game plan. An interesting narrative on Jokic and Gobert, Joe Ingles bouncing back. That's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Make sure you subscribe to the Twitter feed or follow the Twitter feed, Locked On NBA Net. It's a collection of all 30 Locked On NBA hosts of their local teams on one feed for you, Locked On NBA Net. Now let's take a second with Spencer Nelson, former Utah State Aggie, now with Iron Gate Global Advisors, and have him tell us a little bit about this neat company he's working with. I'd like to introduce you to Iron Gate Global Advisors, financial group out of Salt Lake City. I found out about them from Spencer Nelson, former Utah State Aggie, great basketball player. And beyond his jump shot, he's got an MBA. He's worked in private equity. He's got experience working in Wall Street, accounting and financing degrees. And he's now working with Iron Gate Financial. And here's why.
As I evaluated my options and looked at different firms, it became clear to me that the real question I needed to ask was, who would I trust managing my portfolio? And as I got to know Brett and I got to know Brian, I was able to see how they differentiate themselves from so many other wealth management firms and the real value that they create. And it was clear to me that I wanted to work with them.
Brian's a long-term financial expert. Brett, who's been in the business forever, has got an options background. They have a strategy, a direction, and a process. And most importantly, as a small firm, they understand your journey. If you'd like to find out more about Iron Gate, give Spencer a call at 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334 or email him at spencer@igga.com. Anytime we're talking investing, understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results. Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Out in Woods Cross, Tyson and the crew is doing a great job, and a new year means it's time for a new ride. 0% APR on most 2018 models. I drove the Equinox. Super impressed by what I drove. The two things that jumped out to me were how well made it was, how quiet a ride it was. The second was the size, and the third was the pickup. I had the turbo edition. It was just great. You can get $6,000 off the 2019 Chevy Equinox and lease a Chevy Equinox for $289 a month with $995 down. The second car I drove recently out of Chevy was the Colorado truck. I've driven the Silverado, the Equinox, and the Colorado. The Silverado is like the lazy boy chair of trucks. It is so luxurious, so awesome, so unique an experience in and of itself. And then the Colorado is the smaller, more versatile truck. You can get the 2019 Colorado for $395 a month with $1,200 down. Pretty good deal. Also receive an additional $500 off select models. Chevy's got it rolling right now with the best lineup of trucks, and you can do it at Murdoch with the Murdoch family, who's been in business in Utah for over 90 years. It's your home for affordable winter-ready vehicles. Stop in, test drive one today. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy in Logan and Woods Cross, or get started at MurdochChevroletLogan.com. So let's talk Denver's defense, Jazz game plan a little bit last night, because that was, once again, a part of it. And it's not just when the Jazz win that there's a good game plan. There's often a good game plan, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes shots don't go down. But I think it's interesting. Denver was coming off their two best offensive games of the year. They just absolutely throttled Chicago and Cleveland in back-to-back games with their two best offensive games of the year. And their offense is just great. Jokic is one of a kind. But they, Jokic did not like, and it was a big article written, I think, in The Athletic. Jokic did not like him, did not like retreating back defensively, letting guys come at him. He felt he was in no man's land. He was non-aggressive. So they changed what they were doing defensively and had Jokic come up to the point of the ball, blitz it a little bit the way Oklahoma City does, a little bit the way DeAndre Jordan used to do it with the Clippers. Come up on the ball, impact the ball, get off, and then get back to your man. The Jazz last night got off the ball beautifully, moved it around, and then got to a bunch good, great look three-point shots. What's concerning if you're Denver is that so far this year, their top 10 defensive games all came before December 16th. All of their top 10 defensive games, but two came before December 16th. Since December 16th, their defensive ratings have been, again, league average is about 110 right now, 116, 126, 108, 103, 120, 113, 115, 111, 122, 109, a great defensive game against the Clippers, 97, 104 against Phoenix, then a 114, a 145.8, which is the Warriors putting it on back-to-back 110s and 113 last night. So the defensive prowess that they showed early, they had four of their top 10 defensive games by the eighth game of the year. And if you just go to November 27th, they had all but one of their top 10 defensive games of the season by November 27th. So since, now they were good against, now, since November 27th, they have not had any, they've only had one of their top 10 defensive games. That's concerning. Teams are adjusting to what Denver's doing defensively, and as they get a little bit of a tougher schedule and a little bit more road heavy, it should be interesting to see how far they fall back. They're closer to last year's team than they are to something that's considerably different than last year's team that fell one game out of the playoffs as a as a vastly better team that is on the verge of something. You know, they make play in the Western Conference Finals. They may turn out to. They could have played. They were not far off. Well, Houston was great last year. So other than Houston, they easily could have done what the Jazz did in the playoffs last year. There wasn't. The Jazz didn't have something much. They weren't. Jazz weren't greatly better than Denver. But Denver's defense right now is 13th in the NBA, and I suspect it's going to get a lot closer to the 21st that it was a year ago by the time this is over. Their offense is a little bit better than it was a year ago, right about what it was 2 years ago. They're the fourth best team in the NBA. They're just great. Jokic, Murray, Harris, as they get healthier. They definitely have some minutes issues. They allow as only 18 minutes last night. It's interesting to me that Jokic was great last night. It's interesting to me the narrative that took place last night. There was a little back and forth between me and some of the Nuggets guys. So Jokic killed Rudy Gobert last night is the narrative out of Denver. I guess they're very important to them to prove that Jokic should be the starting center in the All-Star game, which he should be for the Western Conference, and he should be probably pretty darn close to first-team All-NBA this year. I think those things are very legitimate. He's just that special. The idea that somehow Gobert got killed on a night where Gobert is plus 16, to me, kind of goes back to this whole lack of understanding of Rudy's impact on a game. So one-on-one, Jokic certainly got in the post. Rudy relented, particularly late in the first half when he had two fouls. Rudy was pretty passive defensively. There's no question that Jokic was able to make plays in the post. Now, on the other end, Jokic was one of six from three last night. He distributed the ball beautifully. He was great. Like, let's just not. There's no. But him being great and his greatness ability to scoring on Rudy, that is not Rudy's only impact on the game. Right? Like, Rudy's other impact on the game is that guys, he contested 17 shots last night. Jamal Murray, some of these guys did not take any shots around the rim last night. He forced Denver into an incredible amount of the floater range shots, 23 of them, in fact. Denver's took 38 mid-range shots last night and hit on 47% of them. So, you know, the Jazz were red hot from three. Denver missed the threes. Right. The other angle on this is that Denver got 26 threes off because the Jazz defense was structured the way it was. And contrasting to the Jazz, who got 45 threes off because Denver's defense was structured the way it was. And those have to do with, frankly, what Jokic and what Gobert are capable of doing to a game. The entire shot distribution of last night's game is skewed because of how good Rudy Gobert is and how good or lack thereof to what can take place from Nikola Jokic, right? So the idea that Rudy got killed last night, I think Jokic, if we were playing one-on-one, certainly proved an awful lot. When Rudy Gobert was on the floor last night, Denver's offense was a 101.3. And the Jazz offense was a 126.7. You cannot isolate the impact of Rudy Gobert solely based on the one guy he was guarding for much of the night, and frankly wasn't even intended to guard him because that was Derek Favors' assignment on the way the Jazz were going to do things. So that narrative is being pushed out of Denver by really bright guys, actually. It's a shallow look at the impact Rudy had on the game last night. It does not have to be that Rudy Gobert and Nikola Jokic and Rudy Gobert were both awesome last night. And maybe the brilliance of both of them is that Jokic is so amazing offensively that he actually can't be stopped by the best defensive player in the world. And Gobert's so awesome that even when guarding a guy that he has a hard time stopping, he still dramatically impacted the entire game last night. That would be probably the way I would sum that up. Joe Ingles gets off the Schneid. Yay! Let's talk about it. When we continue, Instagram, Locked On NBA Net. Great feed for you with the biggest stories coming across the wire. Every day, quick breakdowns from the host. You can get it all on Locked On NBA Net. Today's show is brought to you in part by my friends over at Intercap Lending. Mr. Worthen was over at the ball game last night. Think he hopefully had a great time. Intercap Lending, big Jazz fans. So they were firing up and rooting for everyone and going nuts last night. By the way, what am I supposed to do? The other person who sent me their ticket request last night said, my girlfriend's a Nuggets fan. I want to take her to the game. Do I say no to that or yes to that? Or what do I do about that? Anyway, Intercap Lending has had amazing growth. When they first started advertising on Locked On Jazz and you guys found about them, they had two branches. You guys have made them into something awesome. They now have 11. Why? Well, people are going to Intercap Lending. Why do you go to Intercap Lending? Well, if you're a real estate agent, you send people to Intercap because they get things done and they close deals. And that's really, as an agent, unless the deal gets closed, you don't get paid. So you send people to Intercap. If you're working with an agent, they're not sending you Intercap. Ask them why. See, what makes Intercap different is that they're a direct issuer. They do things in a hyper-responsive manner. They embrace change. They've got great work with technology with their app. When we did our refinance, we used the app almost exclusively to get a bunch of things done, and then Steve Carter came through in the clutch for us. You can reach Steve. He'll be your guy at 385-800-8528. Tell Steve that you're with Locked On Jazz. He'll give you the – we have kind of built it up as a corporation. Clayton and Sarah Wilson used Steve at Intercap. They said, quote, he did a fantastic job with the refinance for Sarah. Now, the process was seamless, very quick. We reached out with a time crunch. He really made it happen. Intercap and Steve is by far the best mortgage company we've dealt with, and we'll recommend him to anyone needing a new mortgage or refi. I love the reviews from Locked On listeners. If you've used Steve Carter and Intercap, please let me know. Give Steve a call, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. That's NMLS number 190465. You don't need that, but I have to say it. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. We haven't even touched on the Favors ejection yet. I have to say, I'm not sure I thought that was ejection worthy. I don't know. I mean, they got into it. They pushed around. Derek certainly instigated, throwing Plumlee with his arm, then pushing him. And then Plumlee came back at him hard. I'm not sure that I guess so. Plumlee's supposed to not react, and Derek gets the tack, and then everyone's fine? I don't know. I'm not sure that I bought that both those guys should have been ejected. It had a weird impact on the game on a negative standpoint. It forced the Jazz to play a bunch of groupings with Epe Udo and George Niang, which is just obviously not a lineup that the Jazz have used very often. And the Jazz kind of found a way through that last night. They played 7.5 minutes last night. They were -3. It wasn't too terrible. They kind of linked those moments and got through it. What was interesting, though, is the Jazz ended up with 14 minutes of their best lineup on the floor. Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Crowder, and Gobert last night. And that actually, that group struggled a little bit offensively. They that group in 14 minutes, though, took 18 threes last night. So that group really executed what the plan was. In 14 minutes, that group took 18 threes. They were +3 during that period of time, 38-35. So that's pretty big. The lineup that actually was the best last night was the Jazz starters. The starting lineup was +8. Denver lost their best lineup. Denver's best lineup is is the lineup with Plumlee and Jokic together, surprisingly. And they lost that with that ejection. We talked yesterday a lot about Joe Ingles, the subtle things that Quinn Snyder will do. The first play of every game is scripted. The first play last night was scripted to a Joe Ingles corner three. He'd been shooting 50% on corner threes, and Quinn Snyder got him a corner three on the opening play of the game, which he made. And just kind of that's the subtle things that coaches do to change how a player's night goes. The above the break three is where Joe has struggled. I don't know what the official word on one of his threes are. It's the 8 minute mark of the first quarter is kind of right on the edge. He's 2 of 5 last night on those above the break threes. If in fact they count that one, otherwise, he goes three or he's 1 of 4 and he's either 3 of 6 or 2 of 5 from corner threes. So big night for Joe to get going. The Jazz certainly needed that. And got him rolling. Donovan was just incredible, and he is shooting the ball brilliantly. That is a huge part of it, and it looks so nice. It is just hanging in the air with this beautiful arch and pat and just this softness to what he's shooting. He made one that danced on the rim forever that was kind of an off-balance, probably not a great shot. And then otherwise, it's interesting. He's very comfortable right now working himself back to the left side of the floor. Many teams are forcing him left to his weak hand, and then he's fine. Last night, they actually forced him right a bunch of times, which was a little different defensively, and then he worked himself back to the left. And Donovan is getting to the rim. You know, his above the break shooting is certainly way different. But this stretch right now that he is on, he is getting to the rim. And that is changing back to finishing, figuring out when to finish, when not to get blocked. When they dropped the big, he got caught back in kind of that no man's land a bunch of times where he's driving to the basket and there's no way for him to get to the rim and there's no passing lane for him as well. But overall in the night, six more shots at the rim. That short mid-range game was not great, or his mid-range game was 2 of 9 last night. His above the break three shooting is just, you know, it's incredible right now. Since Detroit, when he got on his hot streak, is when his shooting kind of came together. And interestingly, the day before we left on that trip in Toronto, Donovan spends the afternoon with Kyle Korver. He goes 1 of 6 with Korver, the first game back. So I think the day before we leave on that East Coast trip, Donovan and Korver spend a bunch of time together in the gym working on his shot, just kind of trying to figure out what it is that he's doing, what he is that he's bringing to the table, what it is that he is trying to accomplish. And they try to minimize some movement, according to Donovan, that they just tried to just take away. Since then, he's 42%, 33 of 78 on above-the-break three-point shots from that time in which he, spent a little time talking to Donovan about it. He says, just on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 9.9 in regards to being a confidence booster. And that is, he is just shooting it great. And if he continues to shoot it at that level, then he becomes really unguardable. This is where guys like me have said that if he can ever shoot that, he scores 30 points a game, and that's in this league, and that's exactly what he's doing right now. Last night he took 10 threes and took 6 shots at the rim, and then I think took 7 or 8 free throws. It's a nearly perfect shot distribution mix for Donovan. His recent games since the Detroit explosion, he went 3 of 3 at the rim, 5 against the Bucks, who just don't let you get to the rim, 7 against Orlando, 8 against the Lakers, 3 against the Bulls, 7 against the Pistons. These are shots at the rim. 8 against the Clippers, 2 against the Cavaliers, blowout, 7 against the Blazers, and 6 last night. Simultaneously hitting the 3. Donovan, really, really special right now in what he's accomplishing. All right, that wraps up Locked On Jazz for the day. Hope you enjoyed. We'll be back with you tomorrow getting ready for Minnesota. It's a great stretch of 5 games, of important games. Hope you're doing super. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey, wait, if you're still there, one last note. I did Locked On NBA with Spence Checkets today. I figured you'd be interested in that, so make sure you go grab that at Locked On NBA.